You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning, and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thy eyes of mercy toward us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, welcome, brothers and sisters, to a new year. And I know that we've finished Christmas and we are still, you know, very much in the early stages of the new year of 2022, and we all pray that this pandemic will finally be out of our sight. And it has been a long 3 years, hasn't it? Two and something years for sure. So, brothers and sisters, I know that December has already come and gone, and we are now into the new year, but we may feel a lot of different emotions at this point. Some of us have had to say goodbye to loved ones this past year, and others have said hello to newborns. Some felt they've accomplished a lot, and while others may feel a real sense of disappointment. And with all that's happened throughout the year, the chance to begin fresh in the new year can be really exciting. If we pray and work hard and keep our faith, we can accomplish many things. And without a strong and positive mindset, reaching our New Year's goals and facing life's obstacles can be more difficult than they need to be. Life has a way of throwing things our way that we often just can't anticipate, can we? And as we prepare ourselves, as we are nearing the middle of our new year in the month of January, let's focus on the Word to sustain us through life's ups and downs. The Word, that means Scripture, brothers and sisters, increases our faith and gives us that spiritual strength. So here are seven Bible verses I want you to consider for this year. Isaiah chapter 40, and I think it's verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. And this one sits on my windowsill all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be, and this is actually hanging on my wall downstairs. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So as we begin our new year, brothers and sisters, as we are into it already now, let's move forward with confidence as God is always with us. And let us turn to Scripture in both good and bad times to help us to maintain a positive, faith-filled mindset. As the psalmist said, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Psalm 119. What is your scripture for the new year, brothers and sisters? Think about that. What would be the one scripture that would help you get through this year? So now, brothers and sisters, I wanted to, you know, money is a huge issue. Money problems are nothing new for all of us. And the book of Proverbs is full of practical insights about sound money management, right? And so maybe this is a really good time to talk about that. So number one, be wise. Financial wisdom begins with getting your thinking right. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, and part of right thinking includes receiving good advice. And plans succeed through good counsel, no matter how much money or how little you have. You need wisdom in using and conserving it, and God is ready to provide that wisdom. The Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Number two, be diligent. There is an undeniable connection between money and work. You probably already knows that. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. And for those who love the high life and crave the latest and the greatest, Proverbs offers this sobering truth. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. So number three, you might find unusual, but being generous. If you have a mean or a manipulative spirit, well, you better beware. A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty. But the good things await for those who are faithful and generous givers. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. And when you bless the needy with your resources, you're blessing yourself as well. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. Be grateful. Above all, the Bible reminds us, all of us, that all we have, and this is another sobering little fact, all our gifts, everything we have, my brothers and sisters, everything, and everything we offer in terms of not just furniture, and I'm not talking about things like that, but everything, including your talents and your gifts, belong to God. God gave them to us. Right? We're just borrowing them. None of us are taking anything with us when we pass from this life to the next. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 24. Everything comes in Chronicles chapter 29. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Even though you may have worked hard to earn what you have, my friends, remember that your life, your health, and your strength are all God's gifts. Remember that, my friends. So, I want you to think about reasons why we shouldn't worry, because you know what? Through all of that, you have to trust God, that God will provide. And you know, throughout the Bible, the phrase, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, is invoked how many times? Over 300 times. In fact, the first mention of fear in the Bible is in reference to Adam and Eve hiding for fear of disobeying God for eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Fear, worry, and anxiety, they're all feelings that are at the center of the human condition. The reality of sin, otherwise known as the separation from God, is the number one cause for humanity to fear and worry. Oddly, almost immediately, after my worrisome thoughts are lacking a subject to write about, my eyes noticed a Bible verse. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit granted me the gift of knowledge and understanding and shed light on my situation. I thought, wow, let's think about that subject of worry and God, and what's God's answer? And so here is why Matthew chapter 6 is the most relatable Bible passage, not only for me personally, but I'm sure for yourself. Maybe you have been like me. I've struggled with anxiety and stress, right? Maybe for you, it might have been something that was quite evident in high school. And maybe you went through a counselor. But maybe as you got older, you somehow managed. But then again, life throws us many curveballs. One could be losing a job or miscarrying, suffering a miscarriage, right? Or stress of an adjustment to a new house, right? And that kind of fear begins to attack us. And it says, and Jesus reminds us, therefore he says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing in their barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Are you not more important than they? Can any of us by worrying, add a single moment to our life? Well, I know that you may be doubting, because maybe you have just lost your job. Maybe you've lost it for quite a while and you're wondering about the providence of God, right? But Jesus is telling us not to worry about that, not to worry about feeding your children. God will provide. And so I know you might be anxious about paying the bills, but failure to trust and fear caused by sin. Once again, the sacramental graces God poured out to me and through my marriage helped me out, right? So, brothers and sisters, living in Canada, you can see a ton of birds outside, robins and crows and sparrows. And sometimes Bible versions translate birds as sparrows. Whether this is the literal translation, it's debatable. However, here's the thing. It says, look at the birds, in other words, the sparrows in the sky, right? That you are more important than they. So, in other words, my friends, God loves humans immensely more. So don't worry. Don't worry, brothers and sisters. So as we go on, my friends, you know, it's days like this that, you know, when we are concerned about different things, we can have a saint. We might think about a saint that we can turn to who offers us peaceful, calming perspective. And I'm thinking of, and I have his picture right here, Saint Padre Pio, right, whose feast day is actually September 23rd. And it's quoted as saying, "Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer." Worry is useless. We would be better off setting the worry aside and focusing our lives on prayer and hope. That doesn't sound easy to do, I know, but that holy man known as Saint Padre Pio certainly seemed to know how to approach life that way, right? A priest of the Capuchin Order of the Friars Minor in Italy, Saint Padre Pio lived a life of holiness and sacrifice. He prayed almost continuously and was able to see and communicate with his guardian angel, Jesus, and the Blessed Mother. He experienced, my friends, plenty of suffering, living with sickness throughout most of his life, and being marked with the stigmata when he was 31. He spoke of praying for the souls in purgatory, and he loved the sacrament of reconciliation. And people were just magnetically, they were just drawn to him for his holiness and his humility. Today, you may find yourself looking at Saint Padre Pio for a sense of calmness in this craziness of this world. What a full life he lived, devoted to Jesus, and focused on inspiring a love for God in those he encountered. Even in the moments of our greatest worries and anxiety today, we can turn to God in prayer, and we can always, and I mean always, hold on to hope. So let's try to pray, hope, and not worry today and tomorrow and all the days after that. So don't worry if you've been caught off guard by 1,000 unwelcoming circumstances, a frightening diagnosis, a financial setback, a deadline that you just can't meet, a relationship that you can't repair, a global pandemic that has disrupted everyone's life. The possibilities are endless. The result is the same. Stress and worry and anxiety may overtake you in these circumstances. Perhaps they've paralyzed you just when you most need clear thinking or a decisive action, but you might be frozen in fear. Regardless of the source of that anxiety you face, the Bible offers all of us, followers of Jesus, some simple and yet profound advice. Number one, we have to admit our fears. Once we're honest with ourselves about the source of worry, we can bring that concern to God. Paul worried and wanted and encouraged us to talk to our Lord about everything through prayer. I'm just fixing my screen here, brothers and sisters. Just hang on here. There we go. Maybe that might be. Yeah, there we go. Everything includes obvious and hidden concerns. It includes fears that are easy to admit, right? Like a child's illness or a lost job, and those that are embarrassing to confess, right? So, and those that we may not understand. Might be like what's causing us to lose sleep, or maybe we're encountering panic attacks. Whatever you feel, admit it to the Lord. Bring it to Him. Prayer involves speaking or journaling. And maybe this is a year that you might say, oh, why would I want to do? Because you're in conversation with the Lord all the time, and maybe the words are hard for you to express, but when you are writing, maybe it just flows easily. When you're honest and you give a very heartfelt manner about yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that is the awe and the respect that our God demands of all of us. Paul knew that the more time we spend with God, the bigger he becomes. And the bigger he becomes, and here it is, the bigger he becomes, the smaller our problems seem. God, once we admit our fears, we can move on to step two. But listen, brothers and sisters, here's the thing, remember, the more we spend time with the Lord, the bigger God becomes. And the bigger he becomes, our problems become smaller. So then make a specific request to God to act, to help you. The Bible is filled with examples of people who ask God to intervene in a specific situation. Sometimes he chose to act in a very clear and dramatic way, and at other times, a greater purpose was at play. Jesus himself asked his Father to take away his cup of suffering, but he knew that enduring the cross would bring about a greater good, our redemption. That's why Jesus' most anxious prayer included the words, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." And that's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Like a child who asks a loving parent to meet his or her need, we can boldly ask our Heavenly Father to act. At times, he will give us what we request, and at other times, he may have something even better in the works. Then, my brothers and sisters, give thanks. It's practically impossible to feel truly thankful and discontent at the same time. That's why something powerful occurs when we give thanks, especially when we may not feel grateful. And stress and worry and anxiety robs us of that joy as they focus our hearts and our minds on what is wrong or what's missing. How much better is it to follow Paul's advice by giving thanks in spite of what you're going through, in spite of it, brothers and sisters, by giving thanks for three things. Give thanks for what he has done. He has given us life, brothers and sisters. He has met our needs. He has paid the penalty for our sins and gave us the hope of eternal life. Thank him for these and the many other blessings of life. Number two, give thanks for what he is doing. We know that he is able to use the present circumstances right now, in our situation right now. He's able to use this present situation in ways that we may not see. Give thanks for what he is doing in the world and what he is doing in us. Yes, and you say, what? You mean that this pandemic, that we should thank him? Yes, brothers and sisters, thank him. God is almighty. God is in charge. God has a hold of this heaven and this earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth, brothers and sisters. He created you and I. He brought us into the womb and into this life. Brothers and sisters, we have to realize we are not in charge and we are not in control. And we must acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Is our sovereign God. Then number three, give thanks for what he will do. Perhaps most importantly, give thanks for what God will do in coming days and be confident. Confident. Don't walk around with fear from the pandemic. Don't walk around with fear. Use common sense, the sense that God gives you. You know, follow medical advice. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Yeah. Absolutely. But brothers and sisters, thank God for what he is doing for you right now, that he's healing you, that he's watching over you, that he's preparing doctors, nurses, surgery, healing, recovery, quick recovery, a quick whatever that you are lacking, that God is doing. He's doing it all for you. Acknowledge that and give him thanks. Give credit where credit is due, brothers and sisters. Remember, none of us are here by chance. None of us are here by accident. If your parents say, oh, you were an accident when you were born. No, guess what? There is no such thing, right? So thank God what he's going to do in the coming days. And you know what? The peace of God. We may not understand it, but we can receive it. We don't only pray because we know God can change our circumstances. We pray because doing so changes our perspective. In Paul's words, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Spending time honestly, admitting our fears to God and asking him to act in a spirit of thanksgiving fosters a mysterious peace, right? Prayer, on the other hand, guards us in two ways. A calm heart as we sense God's loving care. A clear mind as we remember that God is much bigger than our circumstances. Brothers and sisters, I just pray and hope that you see how the power of prayer, how your faith, how gratitude is so important, right? So it's important for your healing. It's important for blessings, for peace in your heart and calmness, right? So I want to read a little, I'm sure you know this one. It's by Saint Therese Lisieux. And it says, my novena rose prayer. O little Therese of the child Jesus, please pick for me a rose from the heavenly garden and send it to me as a message of love. O little flower of Jesus, ask God to grant the favors we now place with confidence in your hands, and take a moment and ask. Saint Therese, help me to always believe as you did in God's great love for me, so that I may imitate your little way each day. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is a huge pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for being with me today on The Father's Quilt every Tuesday and Friday afternoon. So thank you so much for being with me. And I pray that this broadcast was nourishment for you. It fed you and you are encouraged. You are not walking alone. God is with you always. God bless you all. Thank you again. And we will be with each other next time here on Radio Maria Canada. God bless. I've got no